Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell back with you this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and I cannot think of a better way to start off our conversation and my Mother's Day weekend than with some NBA discussion. We're going to zero in on the playoffs. Our focus is going to be on the Mavs-Lakers series, and here to help us break it all down, he has worked for NBA.com. He's an NBA analyst, Art Garcia. It's great to have you with us.
It's about time, isn't it?
Long overdue, and I know you're going to provide us with some great insight and perspective, and let's talk about these Dallas Mavericks, because they continue to make a very big statement. In fact, they pull off the stunner, picking up two wins on the road in Los Angeles. And I think what's interesting about this particular series, Art, is, you know, head coach Rick Carlisle, he has stressed the importance of rebounding and defense. But what really stands out in my mind is just the execution in the half-court offensive set. That high pick and roll, they've been very, very effective and just unselfish, you know, with working the ball around the horn.
Yeah, I think what's surprising to me is the Lakers have yet to make an adjustment against that pick and roll. I mean, their bigs are so, and a lot of times the Mavericks are running this pick and roll with Dirk, and their bigs are so careful not to leave Dirk because, you know, Dirk is carving them up in this series as well, that, you know, the guards, J.J. Barea or, you know, Jet Terry or Jason Kidd, are just basically getting anywhere they want on the floor. And it's just surprising to me when you have a coach like Phil Jackson who's not making adjustments. I mean, they play the same way, and you're right about defense and execution. In the fourth quarter, the Mavericks are doing both of those things, and even when the games are close, the Mavericks are pulling away because they are executing better down the stretch, and I think one of those reasons, the Lakers just aren't making any adjustments right now. I don't know if that's going to change as the series progresses, but if it doesn't, that really bodes well for Dallas because they have, you know, a lot of scores, a lot of shooters. They work off Dirk so well. And then on the defensive end, they've been able to contain Kobe. You know, Kobe hasn't gone crazy in the series. But more importantly, they're shutting down Gasol and Bynum and Lamar Odom. You know, Kobe's not getting that second, third, fourth score the way Dirk is. So, you know, right now, it couldn't be working any better for the Mavericks. And they really are in position to pull off you know, probably the biggest upset in team history. You go back to 06 when they knocked off San Antonio, and the Spurs were the champs, but these are the two-time champs, and to do it without home court would be, you know, it would just be something that I can't think of a better moment in Mavericks history than that.
Art, you bring up a number of great points, and I think back to just coming into the Mavs-Lakers series. You know, so much of the analysis has been on the big boys for the Lakers, you know, stopping Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum, and we really have to tip our hats to the Mavs, just, you know, the interior play of Tyson Chandler and Brendan Haywood. I think of Brendan in game two coming up with those three huge blocks. And, you know, it's not that they've put up such unbelievable numbers, but they play well in stretches in games one and two, and they minimize, you know, Powell and Andrew's ability to get untracked. And so I really think they're handling them eye to eye and toe to toe.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they're not, you know, Tyson and Brendan aren't called upon to score. You know, they'll get some cheap baskets or you know, or in the paint around the rim. But they're out there to play defense and to rebound. And, you know, when the Mavericks went out and got Tyson Chandler last summer, Donnie Nelson, their GM, said, this is for the Lakers. You know, we made this move to match up with the Lakers. And, you know, they had traded for Brendan, you know, the year before. Getting big guys on this roster has been key for the Mavericks because in the past they've been undersized. And basically everybody's always undersized when they play L.A. L.A. has the biggest and most skilled front court in the league. But now the Mavericks have guys to counter that, and it means you don't have to double inside. You know, Dirk has always played Gasol well. He's always defending Gasol well, so that's not a surprise there. And the fact that you have Tyson and Brendan who can guard guys like Andrew Bynum and you know, Lamar Odom if he's inside, I think is just huge. So it doesn't stretch the Mavericks' defense thin at all because they can guard guys one-on-one. They can throw in a little zone at times to mix things up. But this is a team that doesn't need to help out as much with double teams as they used to. And the reason for that, they have these seven-footers now that they never had before.
And I love and appreciate just the mindset of how physical and aggressive they play. And, you know, and they're getting Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum. They're getting them off the sweet spot. They're moving them out of the lane and in a position far enough away from the basket. They're not getting that good look and that angle.
Yeah, in game two, a little. I think Bynum did start to get going in game two in the first half, but then for whatever reason, the Lakers went away from him in the second half. I think he only took, you know, maybe four shots after halftime. But again, yeah, the Mavericks, they're physical. These guys bang inside. And the fact that they're not worried about scoring on the other end, they can just focus on playing defense and hitting the boards and protecting the basket. You know, I can't think of a better tandem in Mavericks history. You know, that team that went to the finals had Dampier and Sagana Job. I mean, you look at the fact that they got to the finals with those two, and you look at the upgrade now with Tyson Chandler and Brendan Haywood. Brendan would start for probably half the teams in this league. You know, it's just such an advantage that this team hasn't had in the past, and that Dirk, you know, frankly, has never been lucky enough or fortunate enough to play with two guys like that next to him. So it just makes Dirk's job easier. And, you know, all the way around, you know, this team has undergone an amazing transformation in the last year and a half. They're not without their issues. You know, we were worried a week and a half ago that they may lose to Portland in the first round when they gave up that 23-point lead. Now it looks like they're in position to go to the finals. So that just shows you the margin of error in this league and how quickly things can change.
I think back to game four versus Portland, you know, when Mavs, you know, they suffered that horrific collapse, loss, as you just said, that 23-point lead. But in many ways, perhaps was this a blessing in disguise? Because although it was a tough pill to swallow, I mean, they have learned they can't be complacent even if they have such an incredible lead. I mean, they cannot back down.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot made of that meltdown and sort of galvanizing this team and bringing them together. You know, I don't know if that's maybe looking a little bit too much into it. I mean, it was one game. I think this team has had a belief in itself and, you know, does have character guys. The fact that they were able to come back and win game five maybe did reinforce some things to them that, hey, if we play our game, we're a better team than the Portland Trailblazers. And I think anybody saw that going into that series. The Mavs were the better team. I don't think anyone would have been surprised if they had lost because of their reputation, you know, in the past. But they know they're good. They know they should compete. They know that they're one of the best teams in the league. The fact that they've done what they've done in L.A., I think, is much bigger than what happened in that Portland series, because now they have this confidence that, hey, we just beat the defending champs twice on their home court. We can pretty much do anything. So, you know, there's still a lot of the series left, and, you know, things can still happen, but I really see that this team is in position to do something that, you know, only that 06 team has done, which is get to the finals. And, you know, once they're there, if it does happen, you know, I would think the Mavericks right now would be the favorites to get out of the West.
Well, the Mavericks, they just seem to play with such a sense of urgency. And I think one of the stats that I've got to throw out there, you know, the fact that they held the Lakers in game two to 32 points in the second half, I was very impressed with that. But I also like the fact these are veteran players. I mean, they're sacrificing their bodies. They're getting on the floor. They're scrambling. They're diving after loose balls. I mean, it's physical play out there, but they know this is the time.
Yeah, and I think they're, you know, they're in a situation that a lot of the older veteran teams are in. They realize this window for them is not going to be open forever. You know, it's maybe another 2 or 3 years max. You know, kid's 38 years old. You know, that's what surprised me so much about the San Antonio series. This is a team that, you know, the Spurs are a team that realizes their window with Duncan's closing, and that's why I think they performed at such a high level all season. You know, I think the Mavericks realize what's at stake. It's so difficult to get to this point. If you want to project it into the future, you look at teams like Oklahoma City and Memphis, which are young, talented teams. They're not going to do anything but get better. So if you're in this position now, you need to take advantage of it. And you look at guys like Dirk, who's been in the league, you know, 13 years or so. Kid's been in the league, you know, 17 years. They realize you're not going to get, there's no guarantee you get back here. So you might as well get it done now. And that's why I think you see that almost desperation in these games, that they're going to go after every loose ball. You know, they're going to sacrifice their bodies because they know this is maybe their last chance to ever be in this position.
Art Garcia is along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. He has worked with NBA.com. He is our NBA analyst this weekend. And we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And Art, I want to talk to you about the fact that, you know, so many times we're going to highlight these players. I want to talk about Dirk here just momentarily. But What about, you know, one of the underrated aspects of the game of basketball, and that seems like the coaching angle. I mean, I think Rick Carlisle has just done a remarkable job with game management. You just touched upon this being a veteran team. There's challenges in keeping all the guys on the same page and seeing the long-term result. I just think his substitutions have been great, and the fact that he's been able to get these guys to really tighten things up defensively really says a lot about him as and his ability as a coach.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think there's much been said or written about the job Carlisle's done. You know, when Carlisle got to Dallas, you know, he had some issues to work through. There was a time when even the veteran players on this team were unsure of what Rick wanted and, you know, some of the substitution patterns and how he approached the game. And I think now that he's, you know, 3 years in, I think everyone has figured out what kind of guy he is. And Rick does have a lot of trust and he gives his players a lot of responsibility. You know, he basically doesn't call any plays. He lets Jason Kidd kind of run the show, and Rick likes to call it flow offense. You know, he lets the guys out there sort of dictate what's going on and take advantage of matchups. If they see the pick and roll there, or they see a one-on-one situation, he lets the guys manage the game. And I think you can do that because he has, like you said, a veteran team. And, you know, one of the things that Rick's really concentrated on is on the defensive end, because he has so many skilled offensive players. And what the Mavericks have done, and, you know, obviously you have to give credit to Cuban and Donnie Nelson for bringing in the personnel. But they have a team now that's tougher, that's bigger, that's more defensive-minded. And I just think Rick has that, you know, steady hand. He's not overbearing. He's not looking for headlines. You know, he's not calling himself a genius like we seem to do with Phil Jackson and guys like that. He's just coaching this team, and I think he's done a remarkable job. And you know, a lot of times we like to say that a team takes the personality of its coach, and I think the Mavericks have done that. I think they're an understated, sort of low-key veteran team. Doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, and that's Carlisle's personality.
You know, and Art, you're right on, because, I mean, he's not super demonstrative on the sideline, and it's hard for me to believe that he was a former NBA player. Yeah, he's so tall in stature, but he never breaks out in a sweat.
No, you know, he was I guess you can call him a journeyman or a role player in his career. And yeah, he was on the bench a lot. And I think because of that, he watched the game, he studied the game. He learned from some great coaches. He was in Boston when they were winning championships.
That's right.
Player. He was an assistant for Chuck Daly in New Jersey. So I just think that Rick just has the right demeanor for this team. And it very much matches up with Dirk's demeanor. I mean, Dirk can get a little demonstrative and a little fiery out there. But Dirk is not what you would call, you know, out of control, you know, high personality player on the floor. I think he relates to Rick, and you know, when your best player buys in to what the coach wants, I just think it trickles on down.
Well, I want to talk about Dirk Nowitzki. I mean, I think he personally plays like a two guard. Just his stroke is high. He's got, you know, that one legged turnaround, but he's just, who can challenge Dirk Nowitzki from the Lakers? He seems unstoppable.
Yeah, right now, Dirk's in a groove, and I was having a conversation with somebody recently about that, and they said, well, if the Mavericks lose this series, the person said, we're going to all blame Dirk. And I thought, if the Mavericks lose this series, it's not going to be because of Dirk. It's going to be because of the guys around Dirk. Because I just think Dirk right now is playing, I wouldn't say at the highest level of his career. I think he's been here the last 4 or 5 years. You know, every year, obviously, you make little improvements and you refine your game. But remember, Dirk took a team that's not nearly as talented as these Mavericks to the finals in 06. And people seem to forget that he was that good back then. They think this is a new Dirk. And, you know, on the TV broadcast, everyone says, well, now America gets a chance to appreciate, you know, Dirk. I think basketball fans and people that know the game have appreciated him for a long time. The big thing with the Mavericks is they've finally gotten better around him. And the fact that he has more weapons at his disposal, I think, makes his job easier. But he's still going to carry the team, and we've seen that in L.A. You know, he doesn't have to score 30, 35 points a game like Kobe may to have an impact on the team. Dirk knows how to pick his spots, and he knows that he can trust his teammates more than ever before. And You know, if there's one guy in the league that deserves a title, and you know, I hate to pick something like that out, but I think it's a guy like Dirk. You know, this guy's never had a Hall of Fame, you know, all-star caliber player next to him. Kid's going to go in the Hall of Fame, but kid, you know, is 10 years past his prime. The fact that Dirk is still doing it, I think, is amazing, and I really do hope that people appreciate in Dallas and around the league what a special player he is.
And of course, Dirk Nowitzki had 24 points, 7 rebounds in Game 2. We're looking forward to all the action this weekend, and you talked about some of those weapons that Dirk Nowitzki has, and that is within his bench. I think of Game 1, Corey Brewer. He came in, provided some quality, some timely minutes. Also, J.J. Barea. To me, he's like a little skeeter bug out there. You just can't stop him. And just how he is fearless, he's not afraid to go inside against the bigs, and just his ability to penetrate and then kick it out if they do double on him.
Yeah, and I think what Rick has done, I've been a critic of Carlisle in the past, that maybe there's been times when he's overplayed Barea, and I think you get to the point of diminishing returns when he starts playing, you know, 24-plus minutes a game. I think teams figure him out. What Rick's done, and I think has been brilliant so far, is he uses Barea in very specific, you know, spurts in the game. And when he comes out there, he's such a change of pace that unless you're seeing him every time down the court, you don't figure it takes a while to adjust to JJ. And in the fourth quarter of game two, the Lakers, it's like they hadn't seen him, this guy, play before. And you have to have a book on JJ, but if you use him that way, it's so different from Jason Kidd, the way Kidd plays, and even the way Jason Terry plays, that having that change of pace, it's like bringing in, I don't know, an option quarterback for one play in football. You're not sure what's going to happen. And JJ comes in, and 3, 4, 5 minutes really makes an impact. And then before the defense has a chance to adjust and figure out maybe what to do, he's out of the game. So I just think what JJ's done is, has been remarkable, and it's one of the things with this bench and this team, it's not the same guy every night, and Rick has a lot of different options to go to. So one night it could be JJ, one night it's Peja, like you said, game one it's Corey Brewer. There's a lot of different guys that fill specific roles, and the fact that they bought into it again goes back to Carlisle.
Well, the Mav fans absolutely love him. Art, we are quickly running out of time. What do you think the keys are this weekend for the Lakers to try to get back into this series?
Well, I think they are going to have to make some adjustments defensively and maybe give up some of that, some of those outside shots to Dirk if it stops the pick and roll and the penetration. But frankly, I think they're a team that looked lost in L.A. on down to Kobe. And I don't know if they rebound. They've never really been in this position before. And I just wonder if they're mentally tired. There's still the chance. And if they come into Dallas and win two, you know, they're a good road team. It's not going to surprise anybody. But I just wonder if they have the fight in them anymore to get this thing done.
I just also wonder if Kobe Bryant had an opportunity to sit down with Andrew Bynum and give him a fireside chat and say, keep it in the locker room, keep it in-house.
Yeah, it's a fireside chat with a, you know, smack upside the head.
There you go. Art, always a pleasure, and we look forward to having you back on with us again. We'll talk to you real soon. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We'll be right back.